Mark chapter number 8, and I am not going to be teaching on holiness tonight, and the Lord began to deal with me concerning something else. That's just the way I am. I'll teach as long as the Lord says teach and keep going. We keep doing that. But if the Lord says, hey, stop and put this in, then that's what we're going to do. And so we'll get back to all of that in time, probably next week, next Wednesday. And looking forward to the services this weekend with Brother LaRoe. And I'm just believing God to do great things. Mark chapter number 8, beginning at verse number 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Praise God. What a unique situation. What a unique miracle. Praise God. What a very, very unique miracle. I don't know how many of us, maybe I should wonder, how many of us want a miracle so bad that if the answer was for him to spit in my eyes, I would say, do it. Spitting on somebody is about as low as he can go. And there is a disrespect and a shame that is in that. But he was blind. It's not like he saw it coming the first time. And the second time may have been a little bit foggy, but the second time's what did it. Amen. And so I want to preach tonight for a little while about perceiving purpose. Amen. Perceiving purpose. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. We exalt you. We need you tonight. More than anything, God, we need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. God, we hear you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, God, help us today, I pray. Help us today. In the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody, help me pray here tonight. Amen. I don't want the purpose of this service to go to waste. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But I want His divine purpose to be fulfilled in this place here tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, we need you today. God, touch us and help us, Lord. We'll be quick to give you the glory and the praise. We magnify you. We lift you up, Jesus. We bless you today, Father. Hallelujah, 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 God. Oh, wonderful, wonderful Savior. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. If you promise to help me preach tonight, you can be seated. Praise God. And if you lie, I'll just be long-winded. Praise God. So if I get long-winded, some of you need to start looking around at somebody because everybody's sitting down. Hallelujah. That means that everybody said they're going to help. Well, Brother Charlie, amen. Praise God. Aren't you happy to be serving the Lord? Praise God. In a world that is filled with distractions, in a world that has noise and all different kinds of noises coming from every angle, in a world that has constant demands upon our attention in every form, It can be all too easy to lose sight upon the spiritual dimension of our existence. And I believe that some of this goes hand in hand with Sunday night considering or concerning the mission of the church. But tonight I want to talk about purpose and perceiving that purpose. And I would just say that we are bombarded daily with information from all sides, from every form and every vice and way, and forms and venues of entertainment are upon and about everybody, as close as the click of a button. It seems like just when you find something that you might want to use as entertainment, like for instance, I believe everybody's got a device, and some people get caught up in Candy Crush, a little game, and just playing a little bit of Candy Crush. But it just seems like in the middle of that, there's all kinds of advertisements for other games. And so finally it gets a hold of you and you download a game and you think to yourself, well, that's dumb. And you delete that, but something else gets your attention, and there you are playing that one, and you're playing Candy Crush, and you're playing. I'm just simply saying all kinds of entertainment are about us in every venue. And the pursuit of material success is about us as well. And all of these things can cloud our spiritual vision. Amen. And but we understand that we are not just physical beings, but we are spiritual beings, and our connection to the spiritual realm is just as real and just as vital as our connection to the physical world. Praise God. And we've got to believe that because that incorporates our mission. We are here for a purpose. God has a purpose for every one of us. Amen. And we can very, very quickly forget about that purpose. Or we can not just only forget about that purpose, but fail to operate in that method for that purpose. But there also is a purpose that God has. And God's purpose is going to involve us. Amen. And therein within is our mission and our purpose. But I believe that in everything that we do concerning the spiritual side, there is a purpose for that. As a matter of fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the Lord, amen, would speak and would say to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose. Amen. God has a purpose. God has a plan. We would see that even he designed it to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that when the fullness of time was come, amen, the purpose or the plan was enacted. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Because there is a purpose. Praise God. And so being spiritual beings and our connection to the spiritual realm being as real and as vital as it is to the physical realm, amen, then our ability to perceive what is going on spiritually must be a precious gift from God. Praise God. Hang with me here for a little bit. Praise God. But being able to understand what the purpose is in our life, what the purpose is at this time, what the purpose is for this service, amen, has got to be a gift from God that we might be able to discern, because God is spirit. Amen. And there's not going to be a program that's going to be taped to the door when we come to church that defines the purpose of God. But it is up to the church to come in and to get in the realm of the spiritual in order to find the purpose for the service. I believe that every day that we live, that our minds somewhere or another, clouded by all kinds of things, amen, needs to have a part that is there, that is desirous simply by habit. Amen. That as we're driving down the road, and as we just simply say, Lord, I just want you to know that I love you, but that there would be something on the inside that would say, God, what is your purpose for this day? What is it that you are trying to do even through me in this day? Praise God. In order to enhance our spiritual perception, we must take the time to seek God in order to be sensitive and to cultivate that spirit of mindfulness. And all too often, spiritual blessings such as miracles and healings and deliverance and even understanding are aborted simply because of our lack of perception concerning the purpose. Amen. We fail to perceive his purpose. Praise God. Let me just go ahead and just clarify here today where we're heading. But I wonder how many people's miracles have been foregone because that we didn't understand that the purpose of the moment, that the purpose of the service, or the purpose of the day, or whatever it was, amen, that God desired to heal. Amen. And we just went to the service as just one of those Wednesday night, dead, dull, boring Bible studies. Amen. It's just Wednesday night. God doesn't really do anything. Preacher gets long-winded. Amen. And keeps us there. And I wonder how many miracles have been missed on Wednesday because we didn't perceive the purpose. I wonder how many people didn't receive the Holy Ghost on Wednesday because the perception was it's just Wednesday or it's just Bible study night. I wonder how many people didn't get their prayer answered, amen, because the perception was, amen, that the purpose was for just prayer meeting. But I believe that even in prayer meeting, there is a divine purpose. Amen. That the God of heaven, looking down upon the face of this earth, seeing all things, knowing all things, understanding all things, therefore having the answer to all things, amen, is ready to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Somehow or another, we just got to get a hold of the purpose. I want to perceive your purpose, God. I want to perceive when you're moving. I understand that your ways are above my ways and your thoughts are above my thoughts. I understand, oh God, that you've got a purpose. I just want to fit in to that purpose. I want to be ready, amen, to testify. I want to be ready to give a word of encouragement. I want to be ready to extend a hand and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Somebody understood the purpose. Amen. God said, it may not be Sunday, it may not be Wednesday, but I desire to help somebody. I desire to heal somebody. Oh God, help us to perceive the purpose of your word. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We know that Jesus told the withered, the man that had the withered hand, He told him to stretch forth his hand. Amen. And the man with the withered hand could have simply said, why? Why? I mean, are you really trying to embarrass me? Are you really trying to? I don't understand what you're doing. But instead, he perceived that God was wanting to do something. And so when Jesus said, stretch forth your hand, even though he may not have understood it, he just did it. I wonder how much that God could really do through us if we wouldn't have to have book, chapter, and verse for an answer concerning these things when we feel the nudge in the Walmart line that says, just ask them how they're doing. What do you mean, just ask them how they're doing? Amen. God says, I know they got a child in the hospital. I know they got a child at home that's sick. I know they've got a wayward child. I know that their family is messed up. I know that divorce court is just around the corner. I got a purpose for you saying, how are you doing today? Amen. If we would just be sensitive and understand and be able to perceive the purpose of God, amen, I believe that there would be miracles untold. Salvation. I don't believe that the church would be able to house the revival. You must get a revelation that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. God wants to save souls. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, but God needs a church to understand the mission and the purpose of the plan. Praise God. And so, our text seems a little awkward that the Lord in his inspired word would interject five verses in the middle of a chapter. So many times we read the word and we look at it as, oh, this is a different story. This is a different time. This is a different idea. This is a different thing. But oftentimes, there is a purpose for it. And so, when we go back and we begin to read Mark chapter number 8, and we're not going to take time to read it all, but we could go back a few verses, and there in verse number 14, and we could take up the text there and we could see where the Bible said that the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because that we don't have any bread? I want you to recognize that the Bible says that neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. They had one loaf. And so when they took it out, Jesus begins to say, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and beware of the leaven of Herod. And they just kind of stepped back, kind of dumbfounded about it, and said, why is he talking about this? What made him say this? And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? He's going somewhere. He's going somewhere. And he says, when I break the five loaves among the 5,000s, how many basketfuls of fragments took you up? And they said unto him, 12. And he said, well, what about when I break the 7 among the 4,000? How many basketful of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Now, if you just read this, you're going to miss it. You've got to stop. And it's the precious jewels that are buried deep down in the earth. And you're going to have to stop and you're going to have to take time to dig. But when you begin to dig and when you begin to set your mind to understand, then you, like the disciples, can understand what the Lord was talking about. Praise God. And so, let's just go back and let's look at it from the Cowan Amplified Translation. Here you have the disciples. And they are looking among one another. And they are saying, hey, who brought lunch today? Daniel, did you bring lunch today? What do you mean you didn't bring lunch? I thought you was going to bring the lunch. You didn't bring the lunch? Henry, did you? Who brought the lunch? Gavin, did you bring the lunch? Dude, are you serious? That's what the Cowan Amplified Version says, dude. Dude, are you serious? Are you serious? You mean nobody brought lunch today? No. I thought you had it. You thought I had it. Well, I thought that you was taking care of it. I mean, you're the one, the last one that... No, I thought somebody had already still taken care of it. Looks like it's going to be a long day. Somebody should have proclaimed a fast. One of the disciples said, well, you know what? We got a loaf of bread under here, underneath the ship's deck right here. Here's a loaf of bread. Said, oh, I guess that'll do a little bit. We got a loaf of bread. Hey, we got a loaf of bread. Yeah. So they brought out a loaf of bread. It's like, you ain't getting that much, buddy. I know how much you eat. You ain't getting that much. Hey, we got a loaf of bread. We got a loaf of bread. And here's Jesus over here sitting next to the helm. And he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And beware of the leaven of Herod. What? That's kind of strange. Leaven. Who made this? Oh, made in China. Well, we don't have anything to worry about. Who made this? This got leaven from the Pharisees in it? Leaven from Herod? You know what it takes to make bread? Anybody know the Pharisees? I don't understand what he's saying. And so Jesus begins to talk to me. He says something like this. He said, have I been with you so long and you don't understand? Understand what? Jesus, I guess I got to spell it out for you. I mean, here you were just complaining about no lunch, and then somebody pulls a loaf of bread out and yells, all kind of making fun of it. Well, we got a loaf of bread. One piece for me, one piece for you. 12 pieces, it's gone. Jesus said, what do you have? He said, well, I got a loaf of bread. He said, do you not remember the 5,000? Huh. Yeah. Well, how many basketfuls did you take up then? 12. Yeah, 12. And you remember the 4,000? Yeah. How many basketfuls did you take up then? 7. Everybody, 7. Okay. And Jesus had one of those oh duh moments. He's just like, because there was obviously something that they were not getting. And so he says, pull this boat up over here. So they pulled the boat up over there. And Jesus gets out. And here comes a man running over there to him with a blind man. He says, Lord, he said, we would that you would touch this man's eyes. And the Lord said, come here. And he took him right over there to all these one loaf disciples. And he looks at all of them. He's getting their attention. And when his attention is, when their attention is upon him, he turns around and spits in the guy's eyes. And they're probably like, "Ooh." And he asked the guy, he says, "Do you see?" You know, see also means understand, perceive, comprehend. Do you see what I'm saying? And he asked the man, "Do you see?" Now, he's talking physically, but there's a spiritual lesson that's going on. And the man says, "Well, I see men as trees walking." And Jesus is sitting here, and if you could read his mind, what he is saying is, that's exactly how the disciples see me. They're not seeing clearly. And so he turns around and he spits in the man's face again, in his eyes. And the man wipes his eyes. And the Lord asked him, "Now, what do you see?" He said, "I see clearly. I see very clearly." The story doesn't end right there. Because then Jesus turns around and he asks his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And somebody said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist or Jonas or one of the other prophets." And he looked at them and he said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "I just got spit on the second time and I got a revelation. I got an understanding here. Because just a few minutes ago, I didn't see clearly. And I may have been holding one loaf of bread and been thinking about how that I was going to be able to get my share of this loaf of bread. When all along there was the master that calms the sea and was able to break the bread and feed 5,000. And was able to break the bread and feed 4,000. And if I would have just understood a little bit better, I would have told the boys, it doesn't matter if we got one loaf, a half a loaf, or just one piece. I tell you, I got something greater that's over here. And he is able to take anything that I have, no matter how small, how insignificant, or how trivial. And he is able to break it and to multiply it, to bless it, and to give what is needed." Praise God. Praise God. And so Jesus used this miracle like a parable to be able to teach his disciples the lesson concerning who that he was. We would also see that oftentimes that Jesus taught in parables to the multitudes. And in teaching to these multitudes, I believe it's Matthew chapter number 13, the parable chapter, that you can go and you can read. And it's parable after parable after parable. And here he is talking to everybody. And here's the disciples sitting by the side, just shaking their head, thinking to themselves, "I don't understand." Here he is talking about the parable of the sower and the seed. I have no idea what he's talking about. And here he is talking about this, and here he is talking about that, and all these parables and such. And we don't know. And so they asked him, they said, "Master, talk to us and teach us concerning the parable of the sower and the seed." Amen. Jesus began to talk to them about some things. In Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 14, amen, he said, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, saying, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Concerning that heart that has waxed gross, the ESV said, amen, that it was a heart that had grown dull. The Amplified Version said it was a heart that was fat and dull. Amen. The Nearly Inspired Version says it was a heart that had become calloused. Amen. In other words, there was spiritual ease. There was contempt in their ways, making them unable to see, even though they had eyes. Unable to understand and to hear, even though they had ears and a heart. Amen. They could not understand what was going on spiritually. And the Lord said, lest I would be able to heal them and convert every one of them. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. But in the very next verse, in verse number 16, he said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. Amen. Amen. He said, verily I say unto you. And he goes on and he begins to talk about that parable of the sower. Can I just interject here today that yes, there are a lot of things that you and I don't understand. There's a lot of things that you and I don't perceive. We don't understand the purpose of God. And it seems like God, amen, has turned us upside down and has just kind of shaken all of the loose change that's in our pockets out. And we don't understand what's going on. And your feelings can get hurt. And you can get aggravated about some things. But let's just turn it around and get back on our knees and say, God, amen, let me have eyes that see the purpose. And let me have ears that hear the purpose. And give me a heart that's able to understand the purpose. I believe that all things still work together for good to them that love the Lord. I believe that in everything there is a purpose. Praise God. I'm moving quickly. Amen. I could talk about Daniel, and I'm just about at the end of my notes here tonight. Don't let that give you too much hope. I see some people that haven't been responding. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we could talk about Daniel, who had a prayer, and he prayed it. Amen. And he was expecting God to give him an answer relatively quick, and it didn't happen the first day. And it didn't happen the second day. And it didn't happen the first week. And it didn't happen the second week. Amen. And here's Daniel praying. 21 days into it, angel of the Lord appears unto him and said, hey, Daniel, let's talk for a little while. I want you to understand. Amen. He said in Daniel 10 and 12, he said, from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand. Amen. You wanted to understand some things that was going on. I'm bringing understanding to you. I want you to understand the purpose of why you didn't get your answer on day one. That's because there was a war that was going on. And the prince of Persia withstood me for 21 days. But lo, Michael came and he began to help. There was war that was going on in the spirit. Amen. There were some things. The enemy didn't want you to get your answer. You know why the enemy didn't want you to get your answer? Because it was going to bring comfort. It was going to bring cheer. It was going to bring joy. It was going to bring happiness. It was going to bring deliverance. It was going to bring a new mind. It was going to bring, amen, something that you was highly desirous of. Amen. But the enemy knew it. If I can just hold out for a little while, and if I can just keep them sedated, if I can just keep them pushed down. After a while, they're going to lose hope. After a while, they're going to give up. After a while, they're going to quit. After a while, they're going to throw it all in. Amen. But God said, I've got your answer, and it's on the way. Amen. And so here I am, and here I've got the answer for you today. And he began, I'm telling you tonight, the devil doesn't want you to get your answer, and you're just going to have to hold on until it comes. Amen. The devil doesn't want you to get your miracle, and the devil says, you went up there Sunday night, and you didn't get your miracle. Amen. I don't understand why, but I believe that God's got a purpose for it, and somehow, some way, I'm going to be able to get it. I'm still believing for a miracle. I'm still believing for an answer. Hey, church, we just got to keep on holding on and pray that we might be able to perceive the purpose of God. Praise God. Praise God. And so, don't read anything into this message that I don't say, because I'm going to say everything I need to say. But I was praying, and I was seeking God, and talking to God. I don't find it ironic that Sunday night I stood up there on the platform and I said, you know what, we need to pray for the Ludlows, that God would get a hold of them. And then all of a sudden on Tuesday, Mary Ludlow texts, and she texts you, Sister Stacy. She texts Sister Stacy, somebody please pray. I'm taking my daughter to the hospital. She's throwing up blood, coughing up blood, all this blood, this. Don't know what's going on. Taking her to the emergency room. And you know what? It's easy to do. Oh, my God. We're going to pray for your daughter. We are going to pray for your daughter. But I just got a feeling that God's got something working. I just got a feeling that God's doing something. I don't understand it, but I want to understand. I want to be able to perceive the purpose. Amen. And however that it is, God's got to get somebody's attention. Amen. Just Sunday night, I prayed. I said, God, we prayed. I asked the church. I said, you know what? Let's pray for the twins. Pray that God would touch them and help them. Jameson got out of the hospital Monday night, and here we are on Wednesday afternoon, and he's back in the hospital. And so, you know, we're all rejoicing and thanking God for all stuff, you know, and here I am. I come to the church, and I'm sitting in my office and sitting at the desk and reading and such, and I look at the clock, and it's about 9 o'clock, and I say, well, about time to check in with Micah, so I'm going to call him, and I call him, and he said, hey, I was just getting ready to text and say that Sarah just took, it's 9:30, 10, I guess, it was a little after 9, he said Sarah just took Jameson to the doctor, and the doctor said that his oxygen level content is too low, and so they're going to admit him back to the hospital, and they're going to transport him by ambulance and such, and it was just like the devil just, boom, just kicks you right in the gut, you know, and takes all the air out of yourself. I was hoping that I'd get good news about Grayson and such. And Grayson has been moved to the ICU and such. And just sitting there and thinking about these things, I said, you know what? Something is going on in the spirit. It's not going on just because it's simply my grandbabies. I can look at every one of you and I can tell you something that's going on in your life. Amen. And there's things, and it seems like hell has flared up on every angle. Amen. And it's sickness here and sickness there. Last Wednesday night, I said, hey, church, I said, if you haven't fasted this week, which everybody just take a day to fast sometime between now and Sunday. Everybody's like, yeah. I said, you know what? Let's pray. Amen. Pray. Amen. The band app filled up with prayer requests. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, people started putting in their, hey, pray for this one. Brother Troy, my mom's got COVID. They're putting her on oxygen. Amen. Sister Tiffany, let's pray for my nephew. Let's pray for my aunt. Pray for this one. Amen. And all of these prayer requests began to pour in. This just like the devil, that when the church, amen, is getting fired up about doing something, there is something that I don't see. There's something that I'm not understanding. There's something that's going on in the spiritual world. There's something that my eyes are blinded to. I have eyes, but I'm not seeing. I have ears, but I'm not hearing. I've got a heart, but I'm not understanding. And I began to pray, God, what is going on? God, help me to be able to see. And I began to come to in here, and I set my notepad down, and I began to write some notes. And the first thing that came to me was, I got to be able to perceive the purpose. Can I just remind you that every time that Jesus began to explain the miracles to the disciples, he said, I want you and you and you. I want y'all to come here. Come on, come on. Come on, come here. Come over here. I want you to get away from all the hustle and the bustle. Come here, come here. Hey, man, you got to get away from all of that out there. You know why? Because that's noise. You know why? Hey, man, that's activity. That's entertainment. That's distractions. That's this, that's that. I've got to get you away. And now that you're here, let me explain to you about the sower and the seed. And the sower, amen, is the preacher. And the seed is the word of God. And the fields are the world. And this is what's going to happen. And all they begin to say, you can sit down. And all of them begin to say, oh, I understand now. You know why? Because you're only going to understand the things of God when you get away by yourself. In a secret place. That's when God begins to explain a few things. You're probably not going to understand everything on a Sunday night when everybody's doing the juke. You're not going to understand everything on Wednesday night when everybody's expecting Bible study. But when you get away in a secret place and begin to commune with God, it is there that God begins to let you to understand His heart. And so I began to pray, God, I want to understand. I want to understand. Amen. It's only 8:25. I got time. I got time. Some of you may not know. You may not understand some things that's going on, but let me just tell you about some things. 7.5 years ago, Bailey disappeared, and she had nothing to do with the Gladfelters. But within the last couple of months, she's reached out and she's made contact. And she's even asked her mom, Mom, would you help me pray about this? Mom, would you pray about this? And mom would say, look, we're going to pray about this. And then it would happen. And she would say, Bailey, it looks like God came through and heard our prayers. And Bailey would say, yes, Mom, God did it again. There's something going on. There's something going on that I don't understand everything about. Hallelujah. Several months ago, I sat down with Gregory Wirth at Spangles, and I ate breakfast with him. And we began to talk about all things church. Amen. I don't know all the past. I don't care to know all the past. But he looked at me and he said, Brother Cowan, I don't know where all of this is going, but I want you to know I'm open to it. Amen. And then him and his dad have sat down and they've had lunch together. I don't understand everything that's going on. I don't claim to have all the answers, but something is going on in the spirit. Is everything fixed yet? No, but there's something that's stirring. There's something that's moving. I gotta be able to perceive it. I gotta find a place and pray and say, God, help me to be able to perceive your purpose in all of this. Earlier this year, Marcus is flying home from Florida and has a different flight. Catches a flight and has a layover in Chicago. In Chicago, he's getting on the plane. And here he is trying to find his seat. A young man by the name of Marquand is sitting there. He's traveling in two, but his business partner is not seated with him. His business partner ticket has him somewhere else. Marcus is holding the ticket that the seat is right next to Marquand. Don't tell me it's a coincidence. God says, I don't need a Sunday night. I don't need a Tuesday night. I don't need a Wednesday morning. I don't need a Sunday morning. You give me a plane in Chicago, and I'll put two and two together, because there's a purpose. Something's happening. Something's going on. Almost 1 year ago, a tragedy came into a group that we were a part of. My wife took a GM position, as you know, in a cleaning company, and she had given her notice. And so here we are now, and they're looking to hire a new GM and to bring in somebody else that can take her place so she can quit. And so they hired this one lady. This one lady comes in, works for 3 days, and quits. And so they go back to this other lady, and just a young lady, I believe around 22 years of age, and she comes in, and they've already interviewed her and stuff, and my wife just thinks, you know what, I almost promise you this girl's a backslider. Almost promise you this girl's a backslider. You say, well, how can you tell? I mean, was it she had no earrings, no rings, no jewelry, no makeup, no anything? No, all that was there. You know what it was? It was one of those things that only Pentecostals do. That little hair piece right here that just kind of hangs down. My wife thought to herself, she said, only Pentecostals know that. And so she looked her up on Facebook, and sure enough, about 2 years ago, she looks everything Pentecostal. And so she just keeps that under her hat. And so they wind up going back to her and hiring her. And so she comes in, and she knows that my wife's husband is a preacher, a pastor, and such, but my wife never says anything to her. And so they got talking. Well, yesterday they sat down and got to talking, and something came up, and all of a sudden the girl just says, you know, starts talking about being apostolic, and she says, do you know Brother So-and-so? My wife said, yes, we do, we know him. She said, and do you know what happened there? My wife said, yes, we know a lot about what happened there. She said, that's where I was raised. Oh, okay. And for so many hours, they sat there and they talked. She lives right over here, not in Augusta, but she lives in Wichita area. Her mom lives in this area. Her mom's a backslider. I knew a preacher that's connected with all of that. And so I texted him. I said, hey, I said, do you know? He said, oh, yeah. He said, would her last name happen to be this? I said, I think so. He said, let me tell you something. He said, that was a good family, a solid family in that church. He said her mom was one of the best, solid in that church. I said, you know what? God just doesn't do things. Just, there's a purpose. There's a reason. But you know what else is happening? There's something going on at 1200 Henry. Amen. On Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights. There's a stirring. There's something going on within the church. In every service, there's something that's going on. And yeah, you got this radical preacher that's sitting up here saying, come on, we can do better. Come on, somebody pray. Amen. He's up here saying, everybody, we need to pray. Come on, pre-service prayer. We need better pre-service prayer. Amen. I'm not just doing that because that I need something to say or need something to do. It'd be a whole lot easier to sit back, coast, and take it easy. But there's something in my spirit that's saying, hey, buddy, you're here for a little bit more than that. There is a revival. There is a harvest that is out there. And I've got to somehow or another grab the world. And I got to somehow or another grab New Life Tabernacle. And I got to somehow or another work them together and pull them together. And you say, why the strain? Because there is hell that's pushing and saying, you're not going to have it. I refuse to let you have it. You can't have it. And the church is fighting that opposition. And the world is fighting that opposition. And somehow or another, the church has got to understand, there is a reason that we're facing these things. There's a reason why we're going through these things. God, help me perceive the purpose. Let's stand. There's something going on. There's something going on. And it would be the easy for the church to retreat and say, let's let the devil die down. Let's just let opposition die down before anything bad really happens. No, there's greater miracles that are out there. Brother and Sister Newman, I don't believe you're here by accident. I really don't. And I know that you're going to fight these things. You're going to feel good about it one day, and you're going to feel horrible about it another day. I've walked in the same shoes that you've walked in. There's going to be days that you're going to question everything that you've done. There's going to be days. 2 years ago, I told Brother Savala, I said, when they need a place to go, I'm going to open this church up. I'm going to open it up for them to come. Amen. I wasn't saying that it was the will of God, but I'm just saying, God, if it's your will, then it's going to happen just like this. And July 3rd, it began to happen. Amen. I don't understand the purpose. I don't understand the reason. I don't have your answer at the moment. Amen. But I do believe that in everything, there is a purpose. In everything, there is a purpose. You're going to be able to reach people that I can't reach. We're going to be able to reach people that you can't reach. Every one of us have a purpose. Brother Henry, amen, there's some more Newmans out there somewhere. And I'm not talking about any U-M-A-N-N. I'm talking about any W-M-A-Ns. Amen. There's some more Newmans that are out there somewhere that are in a place just called Atwoods. Amen. That you're just going to wonder if they go to church anywhere, and you're going to invite them to church, son. Amen. And they're going to say, I want to come to church, because that's just the way that it happens. Amen. Brother Josh, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen. Just this week, I was praying, God, open up a door. I knew who, amen, the new GM was. I knew who my wife was. And on Monday, I'm in here praying. I'm saying, God, open up a door of utterance. You see that it's not going to be long, and she's going to quit, and there's not going to be that opportunity. Open up a door of utterance somewhere. On Tuesday, it began to happen. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. Tug in. Plug in. Plug in and find the purpose that God has for your life. I don't understand why my grandbabies are at Wesley ICU and on the pediatric floor, struggling to breathe. I don't understand when I hear them so congested, trying to cough, and it sounds like their mouth is full of phlegm, and their lungs are full of phlegm, and they're looking at you through those little slit eyes. And there's nothing that I can do. And so I'll tell you what we did today. We laid our hands upon them babies. And we began to pray. And as we began to pray, I said, God, I bind every spirit of infirmity that is coming against these babies. Not just preemie newborn. Not just RSV, because that's how you know it's a spirit. It just bounces from place to place to place. Every time you got it plugged down and you feel like you're getting ready to whip it, something pops up somewhere. That's a spirit. Just about the time you begin to have revival, all of a sudden somebody gets angry with somebody and things begin to pop up. Just about the time you get to have revival, stuff pops up and people can't come to church for whatever. Just about the time you get ready for revival, sickness comes into the church. Amen. We need to understand that if the only time we ever get sick is on Wednesday night, there's something about it.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to blame everything on the devil, but in some cases there ain't no other answer. Because the devil's just as spiritual. And the devil's like, I see what's going on. I can't see what's being said at nighttime as they lay on the pillows and tears run down their face. I don't see that. I can't see a lot of things, but the devil does. The devil sees everything. And the devil says, I got to do something to stop this. And God is coaxing the church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on. Come on. And he's wooing the sinner. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. And at some place, they're going to meet. And revival's going to happen. And this church isn't going to hold what God has in store. We just got to understand and perceive it. And so I say tonight, what was the purpose of God for this service? And so we begin to rule some things out. We're not ruling anything out, but was it salvation? Well, I don't know that there's really anybody here that really needs the Holy Ghost. A few that needs to pray through real good, but was it healing? Oh, that's a possibility. There are some people here that need healed. Is it a miracle? Well, we'll take a miracle or healing. It doesn't matter, but we'll take one or the other. Was the purpose deliverance? Possibly. But I'm saying that's our job. That's our job as saints of God. That's all of our job. When you come into pre-service prayer and you begin to align your mind with the purpose and the will of God. I can't tell you how many times that I have prayed, and especially evangelizing. There's so many times I'm not even concerned about the message. Why? Because I can go anywhere in that Bible and find the message. I just have to know His purpose. And if His purpose, if I feel in prayer and I feel like, you know what, God says, I want to build faith tonight. Well, I go to Hebrews 11. Start looking at the faith chapter. Start looking about walking by faith and not by sight. Start looking at the blind man Bartimaeus, the woman with the issue of blood, all kinds of other things. I got plenty of stuff to preach about faith, but what if faith isn't the purpose? What if it's salvation? Well, I'll go to Acts 2:38. I'll go John 3 and 5. What if it's doctrine? What kind of doctrine? Repentance, baptism, and filling the Holy Ghost, oneness of God. I'll go to Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Ephesians 4 and 5. Obviously, I want to be led by God. I want God to direct my thoughts. But it's so much easier for Him to direct my thoughts if I know His purpose. And I feel like today God's like, go back to Mark chapter number 8. I want them to understand me better when this service is over. I want them to be able to perceive the purpose. Why did God want to spit in somebody's face? Not once, but twice. Why? Peter said, I understand. Because just a few minutes ago, I was complaining about one loaf. But now I understand. He is the Christ, the Messiah. I used to see ministries walking. How many did I? 12. How many did I? 7. Ministries walking. Okay, Peter, I need to touch you again. Come here, Peter. I need to give you revelation. And the second time, Peter said, I got it. You're the Messiah. You're the only one, God Almighty, that can break the bread and feed. I didn't catch it quite then. I thought it was miraculous. I thought it was pretty cool. But I didn't quite catch it. But I do understand now. Thou art the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm encouraging somebody here tonight. You see men as trees walking. You've got lack of clarity. And God is saying, there's a purpose. There's a purpose. And if you'll give yourself to understand the purpose, I'll give you eyes that see. And your ears will be blessed in that you will hear. And your souls will be converted. And so I open up these altars here tonight. It's time for you to come. You don't have to ask God who He is. You already know who He is. time for you to begin to say, God, align me with your purpose. Align me with your purpose. Perceiving purpose. I'm going from perceiving purpose now to a passion for purpose. I've got a passion for it. And so Sunday morning, my passion is going to be, God, what do you want to do Sunday morning? And God, if he says, I want to fill souls with the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to come in and I'm going to create an atmosphere that people can receive the Holy Ghost. And if God says that on Sunday morning I want to perform miracles, then I want to come in and create an atmosphere that God can do it. If God says I want to have an atmosphere, I want people's faith to arise, I want to perform great and mighty things, then I am going to come in and create that atmosphere. I'm going to align myself with his purpose. But I'm not just going to do that on Sunday morning and Sunday night. On Monday there's a purpose. And on Tuesday, there's a purpose. And on Wednesday, I feel like I get kicked in the gut. But there's a purpose. There's a purpose. I walk into that hospital room. And as we began to discuss and began to talk, Brother Micah just simply says, Dad, I feel like there's more going on than just sickness. I feel like this is a spirit. He didn't know what I'd been praying about. He didn't know what I already had wrote down laying on my desk. And I looked at him and I told him, I said, I'm not teaching tonight. I'm preaching. There's a purpose. There's a purpose, and the enemy knows it. The enemy knows that if this church understands, if this church sees through the eyes of the Spirit, if this church hears through the ears of the Spirit, then the pews won't be able to hold what's going to come. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. That's why a preacher several months ago called me and he said, Brother Cowan, I'm just telling you, there's a purpose that you're there. And there are backsliders all around the area. And God has placed you because that's where he's going to send them. There's a purpose. I cannot just sit back and say, oh, well, praise God, I'm just going to wait for them to come. They can't just come. You say, I don't understand. There's war. There's war. There's war going on in the spirit. There's devils that's fighting them every day. Devils of alcoholism. Devils of drugs. Devils of gangs. Devils of bitterness. Devils of rebellion. All kinds of devils. Somebody's got to pray for them. Somebody's got to fast for them. Somebody's got to travail for them. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. I got to perceive it. I got to get a hold of it. In Jesus' name.